from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
And what, ping pong?
I got some people talking about they gonna beat me in ping pong 21-0. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I'm not having it. 11-0. I'm scoring 1 point.
No way.
1 point. I'm scoring.
How? When we gonna do that?
Whenever.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
We're back on 95.7 The Game Saturdays. Jason Dumas, Dan Devone. You need that type of confidence to be a star in the NBA. For some context, people, that was Steph Curry and Ant Edwards. They were on the Team USA boat yesterday, opening ceremonies of the Olympics. Steph Curry brought over members of the Olympic ping pong team to Ant Edwards and said, Ant, these women are telling me they would beat you 21-0. In ping pong, obviously, Steph Curry is kind of instigating a little because he knows how Ant would react. And that was Ant saying, no, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't. Which in theory, they probably would. Have you seen those?
That's ridiculous.
Have you seen those women play
table tennis?
Yeah, table tennis, I think, is the official word, but it's insane.
They're like, I want to say they're like 20 yards from
behind the table.
The table.
Yeah.
I mean, it's to a whole nother. It's not like, you know, you and I in my garage when I was a kid, right? Like that stuff is on a whole nother platform. Anthony Edwards.
He's next level.
What, not only in basketball, but and not only in personality. I love that. That's the future of the NBA with that kid right there.
Apparently.
But as an athlete. Like, I don't think he's getting a point, but you ever seen him throw a football?
I was just about to say, apparently he was a high-level baseball and football player as a kid. Like, high level. I mean, obviously, kind of take his word with a grain of salt because he's so confident he might, you know, but he said he could have gone pro in either. Like, okay, probably not, but that doesn't mean you weren't really, really good at them. Like, to go pro in baseball is so hard, and, like, to be a major league player. And then, you know, football, I actually believe. He was 6'6", can jump. He could probably play wide receiver. I mean, that's believable. Baseball is a little, meh. It's weird to say this, his owner, but he told the owner of the Timberwolves, Alex Rodriguez, he's like, yeah, I could have gone pro in baseball, too. A-Rod kind of just like, sure, kid. Sure. But that's Ant Edwards. You need that type of...
I love that kid, man.
Yeah. And he... I don't know if he's the best young player in the NBA. He obviously has an argument. I don't know if just he's clear-cut. But if you combine his talent level and his personality, he is probably going to be the face of the NBA once Steph and LeBron retire.
Yeah, and I think that what he went through at the end of last year... Similar to what Tyrese Halliburton went through. We always talk about that. Like, you can be good during the regular season. You can pile up these good numbers. But it's a whole nother animal when you get into the playoffs in the second season. And even Ant-Man was asked about that in the first round. And he's like, we've been to the playoffs before. I know what you're talking about, man. Oh, man. And I think that you saw in that series against Dallas,
right?
He was, you know, he was over his head. Like, he hadn't swam in those waters before.
Nah,
closing moments, last 3 minutes of games.
And that was all the difference. In fact, I think Minnesota was a better team, but Dallas had the closers.
Yeah.
Dallas had Luka and Kyrie, and they were able to swing those, you know, 1 to 6 point games in the fourth quarter because late possessions, they're getting their buckets, and the Timberwolves weren't. But that's a lesson that they had to learn. And, you know, Minnesota's going to be right back next year. Cat is really good. I know people don't love his personality, but his talent is undeniable. And then, obviously, you have Ann Edwards. And
you think Dallas is going to be back?
Nope, I don't.
Yeah, so I'm sort of in the same camp.
I don't.
That's
everybody
funny, 'cause you haven't talked about that.
Everybody is just
penciling them in. No, I don't even think they're that. I think their run to the finals was fluky. I think they had favorable matchups. They got Minnesota right off that just heavyweight classic series with Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they got them tired. Now, give them their credit. They won. And they also got a Thunder team that was a year too early. I mean, like, the year before, Dallas wasn't even in playoffs.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying Dallas might not be a playoff team next year. I mean, they were the sixth seed, I think, fifth, sixth. They are not going back to the finals. I don't think Klay is going to fit that well with that team. I love Luka as a player. He's great. I don't think Kyrie is getting any better. He might be the same level next year, but he won't be better. If anything, he will be a little worse. He's just getting older.
Yeah.
No, I don't. And I like Jason Kidd.
Wisely's for real.
Oh, he's good.
Yeah.
I mean, the Warriors really, really, really wanted to draft him. They really, really did. And it just didn't work out for him. Obviously, he wasn't there. But I remember when Lively came here for his workout. They loved him then. I talked to a couple people behind the scenes. One person told me, I'm not going to put his name on blast because he might not. It wasn't like an off-the-record conversation, but it also wasn't a conversation where he probably wants me to put this out there.
You better be careful.
But it's an NBA player. An NBA player. He came up to me. We were just talking hoops and talking the draft, and he said, bro, that Lively kid, this was before his rookie year. He might be rookie of the year. He's so good. Now, obviously, he wasn't rookie of the year and Wemby, but you can tell Derek Lively is going to be really good.
His name, like, you're
going
to say he was trash.
Oh, no. He said he was going to be good, but, you know, it was a private conversation.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was a significant person who unpromptedly started raving about Derek Lively.
Yeah.
And, so it's going to...
What do you think of Draymond? Did you hear his
comments?
What podcast was he on this past week?
It was Jeff Teague's podcast. They got to stop putting mics in front of everybody's face all the time. Like, I'm not a huge podcast guy. I only listen to podcasts where I can learn. I don't really feel like listening to people gossip for an hour and a half. And there's a lot of story times where it's like reliving the glory years. And I did this and I did that. We don't care, man. Most podcasts do not get my attention. And I enjoy Draymond Green as a player. I enjoy him as a person. Been covering him for a while. Great dude. But I'm not sure he even believed half the stuff he was saying. It's just like sometimes you get a mic in front of somebody's face and you just start talking. And like when he said, I either want to go to the finals or not even play. I think we have that, no?
Yeah, I can play that.
Yeah, let's play that right now.
I'm going to share a little tidbit with you, though. After winning 4 championships and making the playoffs and losing in the first round, I'd rather not. Or second round.
You rather not what?
I'd rather go home and enjoy my summer.
Okay, respect.
Than going to the first, second round and not having a real chance.
You solidified, though. Maybe the guys want to go to the playoffs. You're young guys.
No, right? I mean, we're going to do all we can to win a championship. But by the way, at no point are they going to hear like, yo, fellas, we got to make the playoffs. Like, don't waste my time. Don't waste my time. We try and win the championship.
Well,
that's the talk. But making the playoffs, that's some Indiana Pacers talk.
Even the guy who was hosting that podcast kind of tried to give Draymond an out. He was like, well, what about the young guys who just need that experience? Like, even they tried to give Dre an out. And I just, look what the Mavs just did. They were the fifth or sixth seed, but they were not supposed to go to the NBA Finals. No one had them going to the Finals. It was either the Denver Nuggets, the Minnesota Timberwolves, maybe the OKC Thunder. Those were the three teams in the West that were significantly better than everybody the whole regular season. All of a sudden, you blink and Dallas is in the Finals. Like, Draymond, if anybody should know, all you got to do is get in the tournament and anything can happen. So this talk of, like, we either got to win a championship or I don't even want to go to the playoffs. It just doesn't make much sense. And I think deep down, he probably doesn't even believe that. But that's what happens in the podcast era. They just put a damn mic in your face and it's just all of a sudden it's diarrhea of the mouth. And I guess people will probably call me hypocritical because considering what I do for a living, we're talking for 4 hours. But it was, I rolled my eyes at pretty much every comment that went viral from Draymond on that podcast that day.
Yeah. I do wonder, and I said this the last couple of weeks here in 95.7 The Game, that because, and I know you and I will probably differ on this, but I think that this is a team, nobody likes to use the rebuild word. I guess the word now is step back. It's a step back, or it's a reset, whatever the hell you want to call it. It's a rebuild, which makes sense for the Warriors, which is why I think Markkanen or Paul George makes no sense and don't do it, and I know we can get into that conversation. But I mentioned this. That if indeed this is a team that's retooling for the future while still being competitive, is Draymond down for that? Because I do believe that at age 35 and even prior, forget about his age, he is wired to win and he's synonymous with NBA championships. If this is a team that's going younger and looking to the future that may not include him, is he really signing up for that? Because I think this could come to a head that if they don't get Markkanen, and this is indeed the roster that Draymond might want out. And if I'm the Warriors, that's a mutual conversation because I think in retrospect, signing you to a 4-year, $100 million contract, we would like to revisit that. And so if you want to go to Detroit or if you want to go somewhere else and we can get what we feel is value in return, that's a conversation I certainly would have if I'm Dunleavy.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think I get Draymond, like the root of his point. I just don't know if he conveyed it the right way or I don't, maybe he did in his eyes. In my eyes, I get the fact that you're a vet who has won 4 NBA championships. You're very accomplished. Like your point is like, yo, I don't want to BS around. Are we playing for championships or not? There's no in between for me. But I think saying, I don't like, bro, if you make the playoffs, you have a chance, especially with Steph Curry and them on the roster.
I would disagree. If this team could get to the playoffs, they ain't winning anything.
This
team is not likely going to the Western Conference Finals.
Is it likely? No. Is it likely? No. But you can't. So basically, Draymond doesn't want to play on this team.
Well, that's
the point then. Yeah. That's the point because if that's your mindset, that, hey, we're like a team that's going to make the playoffs and that's it. If that's your mindset, then you're basically saying you don't want to play for this team because that's what the team you have right now.
That's what I've said all along.
So, yeah, I mean, then that's not good either. Why?
If they can get out from underneath that contract, if he wants out, if this is not a team that's going to win a championship, which I don't think they are, and Lacob and Dunleavy and Kerr will never admit this, but if this is indeed a rebuild, which is, I think, the smart move, I think he's smart enough, Draymond, to read the writing on the wall, and they should have that conversation.
Like, this isn't a rebuild, though. They're not bad enough. Well, this is not a rebuild.
Okay, not a rebuild. Reset, leaning into the youth.
This is just like the pedaling in the middle type team. Like, this team,
just
if
be
they
competitive.
Go, if this team goes into the year as is,
yeah,
they'll be probably around the same situation as last year, which is not good enough to get better. Like, you're going to get what? What did the Warriors didn't have a draft pick this year, but if they would have, I think it would have been like 14, 15. Like, you're not going to get any franchise-changing player at 14, 15. Most likely you won't, obviously. So if they're going to rebuild, a rebuild looks like we're getting rid of Steph, we're getting rid of Draymond, which ain't happening. They're not getting rid of Steph Curry. So that's what I'm saying. Like, Draymond, the team you're on right now is the team you just described you don't want to be a part of.
Yeah.
Like, so what message does that send? You know, it's just, that's why I said, you put a mic in front of people's face, and sometimes they just get to talking. Like, get these mics out of everybody's face all the time. Draymond, you got your own podcast. You work for Turner. You're very engaging on TV. You're going to make a whole lot of money on TV once you stop making a whole lot of money playing basketball. You don't got to do every damn podcast I'm going to invite you on.
This is true. And these podcasts are also making money, by the way.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, his podcast is owned by The Volume. That's like Colin Cowherd's podcast. They make money. I mean, like I said, he's good at what he does. I'm not trying to diss him on that, but less is more sometimes, bro.
I think the other thing that he said and intimated was that everybody's misreading Klay Thompson. This is where I was like, okay, wait a minute, man. Because I like Draymond. I'm on record. Like, I like his personality. I like him as a player.
So do I.
We're both Draymond fans. That, like, the Jordan Poole incident, I didn't necessarily go after Draymond as hard as others. And you know, I got a lot of trouble for him. Well, not trouble. People didn't like that. I just...
You can't advocate for punching somebody in the face. But I didn't vilify him the way everybody else did.
But I think that...
Real ones know. Sometimes stuff happens.
I think that he... What it is that he said about Klay, I'm like, Draymond, come on. Like, put down the fatty or the cocktail, whatever it is that you're doing, because that's
what did he refresh me.
I don't think we have this. Thank you very much. A little early for that. Although they wake and bake in Hawaii when the waves are cracking. So
it's not my vice.
I think that, pod is just makes me paranoid, man. It's just like, I can't.
Not my vice.
This conversation.
I'll drink like a fish, but. Yeah.
I think like I went to a football game a little inebriated on some marijuana, and I could have sworn all 42,000 people were staring at me. I had to go home. But here's the thing, when it comes, so Draymond, I don't know, Jersey Ken, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but if you have an opportunity to find this, but he was intimating that we were all misreading the Klay Thompson getting up and getting out of town. Like, everybody thought it was Klay Thompson being difficult and it was a contract dispute. He's like, no, man, think about it like this. This guy won 4 titles. Why don't you think about it like he was trying to help the team? Like he was trying to save the team some money so that they can go out and maybe win another title. You ever think of that?
Oh, please.
That Klay Thompson was doing this?
He don't believe that.
I swear to you that he said this.
I believe you. I believe you. I'm saying he don't believe that. If he said that, like, no. I know way too much that went on behind the scenes. Some of it wasn't behind the scenes. Some of it was dead in our face, in the public's face.
What happened there? Come on, give me some scoop on Klay. Like, do you have, like, those two are out a long time.
He was not happy with the role
when he got benched?
That was playing out in front of his face. And the benching, that was later than they even wanted it to be. It was a lot of people just like tiptoeing around. How are we going to make this happen? How are we going to make this happen? And finally, Steve Kerr was like, look, you're coming off the bench.
Yeah.
Klay wouldn't be able to play to the best of his abilities from a mental standpoint, just the mindset he would be in coming back to this team next year. Because he would come back in a bench role. He would have. And he wasn't comfortable with that. And Klay is a very cerebral cat. He has to be in a good headspace to play his best basketball. And he knows he wouldn't have been. So take that for what you want. And, you know, there's no need to get into every nook and cranny, but it was uncomfortable the last couple of years. It was. And this is what it came to, him just saying, I will be better off somewhere else. And I do not think the Warriors, publicly, they're going to tell you everything. Behind the scenes, I don't think the Warriors would argue with them. We're all better off.
And I think that their action showed as much.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's what I tell people who get on me for talking about Klay and saying this and that. Look, just trust your eyes.
Yeah.
Don't be delusional. You saw what was happening. It was uncomfortable. Klay was not happy. Use your eyes. That's not an opinion. Just use your eyes. Don't be jaded by the nostalgia. I know it's easy for fans to do that, especially with someone as accomplished as Klay Thompson, but it was right in front of your face, bro. This is not an opinion. Just use your eyes.
And I think it's sort of why I've arrived at a place where I believe that the Warriors and the Warriors brass and the powers that be, he was the first shoe to drop. The fact that they let CP3 walk and they just took $73 million off the book, to me, that was the first indicator that the Warriors are headed in another direction. That this is not a move to set themselves up to go get a free agent. I'm curious to get your thoughts on, because I know I'm sort of in the minority here. Everybody seems to think that you owe Steph Curry another title, that you got to go out and get that guy and win another championship for Steph Curry in his final 2 years. I completely disagree. First of all, that player doesn't exist, and they're not a player away. And I also think, again, that if you're a competitive team, that's enough for Steph Curry. May not be enough for Draymond Green, but I think it's enough for Steph Curry because he is part of the fabric that is the Bay Area, and I don't think he's getting up and going anywhere.
All right, here's my retort to that, and I disagree with you for a different – like, I agree and disagree. It's not that they – oh, Steph Curry, another run. It's like, we have to do this. We're beholden to him. I wouldn't phrase it that way. I think it would be stupid for the Golden State Warriors not to go for every single year that they have someone as talented as Steph Curry on the roster. I still think he is a top 15 player in the NBA, probably way higher than 15, but I think this past year he was third team All-NBA, so that's top 15. Mm-hmm. It's top 15 in the league. As long as you have an All-NBA caliber guy like Steph Curry on the roster, you have to go for it. And you probably only have about three more years, realistically speaking, about three more years of Steph Curry at a level where he can be your best player and win a championship. And I do think they could be one player away. I generally do. If they had acquired Paul George, which was real, Paul George said it was real. Draymond Green said it was real. People I talked to, it was real. The Clippers kind of said, no, we're not going to do that. After everything dust settled, Clippers just did not want him to play for the Golden State Warriors. Lawrence Frank shut that down. But if they had acquired Paul George, yes, I think they would have been a title contender. They would have been right there in the mix. If they acquire Lauri Markkanen, depending on what they have to give up, if they only have to give up either Kuminga or Podziemski and they can keep one of those guys on the roster, like if they could do a deal like, and this is just me speculating, if they could make a move like Pods, Moody, and then like draft capital, so they have a team next year where they have Steph, Lowry, Draymond, Kuminga, and all the other guys, I do think that's gets you in the mix. All you got to do is get in the mix. As we saw this past year, like the number five seed made the finals.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So I do think there's certain guys out there who can get the Warriors right back there on the cusp.
Go ahead, Ken.
We was just about to make some trades last week, and I told them straight up, like, yo, that trade helped me. Like, it'll help me right now in my career these last couple years and stuff. But I've always spoke to y'all from a place of what's best for this organization. I won't stop now.
Yeah.
That's a bad trade. Like, don't do that trade. Like, I disagree with it, although it's going to help me right now.
We don't know what trade it is that he's referring to. And again, I don't, this is, when you talk about Draymond with a live mic, just talking for the sake of talking, I highly doubt that he has the end-all when it comes to these deals. They probably consult with him, but they're not saying, Draymond, what do we do? And he says, don't make that trade. And they're like, okay. And they cower. They'll make a trade if they think it makes sense to him. Well, you know, certainly letting him feel as though he has, you know, part of, he has, you know, part of the decision-making, when in reality, it's Dunleavy who knows his job's on the line. Talk about Farhan and Steve Kerr. And at the end of the day, they overrule any player. I want to say this, or should I wait to the end of the break? Because, you know, I love you, Dumas, but it's time for you to come to school because Danny's going to teach you a little lesson here. Like, whether you're Grandy or Evan or Steiny or Guru, when it comes to this, we're one player away. You're not. And I'll tell you why.
You are. I think we have a couple minutes, though, before the break.
We
got 2 minutes.
What do you got, Ken?
All right. Look, here.
Oh, you want to continue? You want to continue to dig a deeper hole and set yourself up?
No, I mean, I'm not setting myself up. It just depends on the player. Like, obviously, it all depends on the player. If the Warriors get another star player, they will be right back in the mix. Like, as I mentioned, if they had to acquire Paul George, they'd be right there
still. Okay, here's why I completely disagree. If it was 2016, would you agree that was the apex? Everybody was in their prime. That's the Warriors at their very best, 2016. They just lost to the Cavaliers, but you had Steph, you had Draymond, you had Klay, you had Iguodala, all in their late 20s, in that sweet spot, right? All very much in their prime.
Maybe. I would argue Steph was in his prime 3 years ago when they won it all. 2 years ago.
I would say
when he was the finals MVP.
I would say he lost a half step. If you ever looked at YouTube back in the day and the things that he was doing.
I don't know. Okay. I think he was like arguably the best player in the NBA.
Two years ago?
When they won it all. Yes, I did.
I wouldn't say he was the best player in the NBA. He was the NBA Finals MVP. Certainly best player in the NBA. I'm not willing to go there. But to my point is that when you had everybody in their late 20s and you were a team that clearly was at your prime, you were one player away. And that one player was Kevin Durant.
They weren't one player away then. They lost the finals in seven games. They could have came back the next year and won it all.
It was proven that you were one player away because you almost three-peated with that guy. So they felt as though after getting beaten by Cleveland that we need to make a trade. Let's go get that one player. And so back then, just for the sake of discussion that we need to go get a player, back then when you were in your prime, you were one player away and that player was Kevin Durant. And you almost three-peated. You mean to tell me you want to fast forward this thing 8 years where Steph is now going to be 37? These guys are in their mid-30s. They already shipped off Klay Thompson because realistically, at the end of the day, he's too old. He had lost a step. He's clearly no longer a two-way player. And that one player is now Lauri Markkanen? Or that one player is Paul George? You are not one player away. You were one player away almost 8 years ago. But now that everybody's in their mid-30s, it's time to realize it's D-Day. Dynasties don't end well. And so the way we got to get our arms around this is let's get under the luxury tax. As Lake had sworn to everybody that I got to get financially, this has to make sense. I'm not spending all this money for a team that's getting run by Sacramento. And I'm going to lean into the youth. I'll identify some core players. And then we can be relevant in maybe a year, 2 years, maybe 3 years. We'll be back after it. You go after Lauri Markkanen, which means that you have to sign him to a max. Paul George, you're signing to a max. You're trading all your assets, and you have no draft picks. What the hell are you? I'll tell you who you are. You're the Golden State Warriors before Steph Curry and Steve Kerr came to town, which means you're on the outside looking in the lottery for a decade plus.
Are we going to keep talking about this on the other end?
No, because I just dropped the mic and going home, man. Nothing to talk about.
I caught it with the left. That's Dan DeVoe. I'm Jason Dumas, 95.7 The Game Saturdays. We'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Hey, Gil, when you say those radio announcers, you're excluding one Dan DeVoma Kahuna, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
That's Dan DeVone. I'm Jason Dumas here on 95.7 The Game Saturdays. Bay Area, hope you're having a great weekend. A little gloomy out here in the city. I wonder what it's like in other parts of the Bay Area. We're knee-deep in Warriors talk right now. What does this roster look like going into the season next year? I think if the Warriors get another 1A type player, superstar needle mover, I think they will be right there in the mix. DeVone disagrees with me. I think if they go in at the season right now, obviously, they're probably on the same level as they were last year, maybe a little better. I do like the pickups they have. I like Buddy Hield. I like Kyle Anderson. I like DeAnthony Melton. They got all three of those guys combined for less than what they would have paid for Klay Thompson. So I think that's an upgrade. I really do. How that will show in the standings, who really knows? You would have to imagine Draymond will be a little more available next year. You hope. If he's not, I mean, that's a serious problem because most of his unavailability was due to suspensions. So you would think and assume he would clean that up. You also have to hope he's healthy. You know, obviously these guys, I believe Draymond is 35. I'm 35. I think we're the same age. Yeah. He might be 34.
And you just tore your Achilles, which I'm telling you, things happen, though.
Let's knock on wood. Do not put that on Draymond. But yes, you're right. You get old. I mean, Draymond's already had some really bad injuries. Like, he had that back injury, but he was feeling it in, like, his calf. Yeah. Like, stuff like that. Nerve stuff, that's kind of scary. Steph, I think, is a year and a half older than me. So I think Steph's 37 or he turns 37. Turns 37 next year. So, you know, you got to hope you got a clean bill of health. But I do think this roster is better than last year's roster. Better to the point where it's going to make much of a difference. No, you might go from a 10 seed, which way they were last year, to a 7. But still, you're fighting an uphill battle with 7 seed in the Western Conference.
Yeah, I don't. DeAnthony Melton and Buddy Hield and Slo-Mo and Kyle Anderson, they don't really do much. I mean, yes, I guess it's an upgrade. They're okay. Buddy Hield's not a difference maker. I think on a really good team, those are good accessories, good peripheral pieces. But they're not frontline, move-the-needle type players. I think everybody knows
that. Yeah, I agree.
Let me ask you, who's your starting two guard? DeAnthony Melton? To me, that would make sense. But there's going to be, you know, Moody, Wiggins. There's a lot of guys in that mix.
I mean, I'll tell you who it's going to be. It's going to be Brandon Podziemski.
Do you think so?
I know. Yeah, I know so.
Yeah, obviously. I think you become really small, though.
Yeah. I mean, look.
Although DeAnthony Melton's about the same size, I want to say.
Based on all the messaging that the decision makers have made publicly and the things I hear behind the scenes, there is going to be a Steph Curry, Brandon Podziemski backcourt. Starting the game. Obviously, things can change. Obviously, Steve Kerr is not going to be so absolute to the point there's not, like, competition in camp. But it's Brandon's to lose. And he's had an amazing offseason, so he already has some momentum. Yeah, BP is going to be the starting two guard.
So let me ask you this. If I'm defending the Golden State Warriors, it's Steph and now BP, Splash Brothers are done. What's to prevent me from running two guys, if not three guys, at Steph Curry? Who else is going to beat me from the perimeter on the Warriors?
I mean, they do that already.
Yeah,
they,
I know.
Well, they did that last year.
And you had Clay.
So it won't be any different.
But at least you had Clay or yeah. You had some shooters. But I'm telling you right now, if Buddy Hield, or he's not going to start, but who's shooting the ball for this basketball team?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you lose spacing with Clay. That goes without speaking. Look, I'm not advocating saying this Golden State Warriors team next year, as currently constructed, is like a contender. So make no mistake about that. I think we agree.
I'm with you. I think they're going to be in that 5-6-11 range.
Yeah.
Slap fighting it every night, going back, forward the entire season. They could be a 5 or 6, or they could be an 11.
Like that's how it was this past season. Like, you know, you had Minnesota, Denver, and OKC, and then really 4-10, there was not that huge of a gap. There really wasn't. I think the total between 4 and 10 was probably like 6-game swing, and then obviously it gets even more bunched, like that 7-10. There really wasn't that much of a gap. Like, if the Warriors had got into the playoffs, it would have been an uphill battle because they would have had to play the 1 or 2 seed. I think that was either Minnesota or OKC, but you know, to your point, there's a lot of parity once you got past those top three teams. And is this caller ready to go? Yeah, let's go out to Oakland. This is Gene. He's talking some Warriors. Gene, what's up, brother?
Hey, morning, fellas.
Morning, man.
So I agree with both you guys. I agree that I think we've gotten at least marginally better, certainly better defensively, gotten a little younger. And hopefully, you know, if Hill stays healthy, we got some shooting there too. But same time, you know, the older guys like Draymond and Stephen, they're going to be a year older. But I agree with you too, Dan. I think even if, you know, miraculously we could come up with a superstar, that probably wouldn't be enough to win a championship at this point. I think the only way we get better in the future is from within, with the kids getting better and making some smart draft choices in the coming years. And that's why I was definitely against the Markkanen trade. We would have given up too much of our future to do that. And I don't know how much we would have gotten in return. He's a very good offensive player, not much of a defensive player. So,
Gene, while we have you, to your point, you think the best pathway to getting better is from within. Do you think Jonathan Kuminga could be that guy? What do you see in him? Do you think he could be a potential guy that puts the Warriors over the hump with a big leap?
I think he, Pajemski, and TJD all could potentially be stars, frankly. Kuminga's still very young. He's still getting better. I think if he can learn to rebound better, work on that three, have a good three-pointer, and improve his defense a little, yeah, I think he could be a star, maybe an all-star. I love Pajemski, and I love TJD and what they do. So I see upside for all three of those guys.
All right, Gene, appreciate you, man. Look, I love Jonathan Kuminga's potential, and Dan, I don't know about you. You haven't talked about Lauri Markkanen specifically. I want to hear your thoughts on him as a player. But I think Jonathan Kuminga, I think Lauri Markkanen would unlock Jonathan Kuminga's potential. Because Lauri Markkanen, he stretches the floor. He would allow Kuminga to be the slasher that he is, especially with Steph still on the court. Sometimes you need that roster construction to really bring out the best of a player. And I really like Jonathan Kuminga next to Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah, I'm a little bit tired of the phrase of unlocking Jonathan Kuminga. CP3 was supposed to have done that last year. Like, unlock yourself, my man. Just get to the
rim,
do your thing.
That's fair.
But Lauri Markkanen is a good player. Stretch 5 at 7 feet. He can do things. You know what's interesting? Getting back to Draymond. So one of the things, and it's hard to keep track because he said so many, but one of the things he said was he intimated, and he didn't say who, But when he was talking about how he had the ear of the Golden State Warrior decision makers.
Do you think he was talking about Larry?
No, but I think, I don't know who it was in the trade, but he also intimated that he didn't want a certain young player going. Like, that's a non-starter. Yeah. Do not trade him. A lot of people thought it was Kuminga or Pajemski. I'm curious who you think it is.
I think it's Kuminga.
Yeah, I think it's Pajemski.
Just knowing Draymond and the relationships he has. Right. I mean, trust me. I mean, I don't think he has a bad relationship with any of the young guys, but, and this is a guess, too. I have no idea. This is not me reporting this. I would guess it was Kuminga he was talking about.
Yeah, see, I think that Draymond has seen a lot of slashers and guys who can potentially score. But Draymond's all about IQ.
Yeah.
Like, that's who he is, especially defensively. I think he sees Pajemski, and he sees a little of himself. Like a guy who was
connector type.
But a guy that doesn't come in with the biggest skill set, taking charges, understands rotations, a glue guy, high IQ like that of Draymond, who I think has the highest IQ currently in the NBA. Like, I think he sees himself in Pajemski. Like, I think to him, like, do not move Pajemski. That guy is a non-starter when it comes to trades. Like, he has exactly what I have. Like, he understands the game. And those are the guys you win with. It's not the Jordan Pools or the guys who can give you 25, 30 a game. There's a lot of dudes in the NBA, right? It's littered with dudes who can fill it up.
Right.
But winners, like, Pajemski could be that guy who can bring you, especially with his leadership, because he didn't give a damn for a young kid. And sometimes he got beyond his skis. But I think Draymond recognizes the value in Pajemski as opposed to Kuminga.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Let's go back out to the lines. We got Jimmy in Dublin. He's talking to Warriors on what they need to do. Jimmy, what's going on, man? Jimmy, do we have you? Looks like we don't have Jimmy. Jimmy,
come on, Jimmy. What the hell's going on?
Jimmy, give us a call back. You might be in a bad service. But, yeah, look, I love Pajemski. I really do. I think he is going to have a long, accomplished career. I love Kuminga, too. Like, that's kind of been the debate. It's been the debate, you know, if you had to get rid of one young player. I'll ask you. I'll put you right on the spot. If you had to give up one to get a needle-moving player and one of them got to go, which one are you sending?
Well, I think I told you my thought on all this to begin with, which is the reason why I don't want a needle mover, which is why I don't want a free agent, because both of those guys are staying with me, because it's about the future. It's not moving off of these assets.
You're crazy!
For a Markkanen or a Paul George, guys that I'm going to have to extend max deals and then once again get over the luxury tax and then get off of my assets like that.
Who cares about that luxury tax? It ain't your money?
No, that's true. I don't give a rip about when it comes to money.
I could care less about that damn luxury tax. I know Joe Lacob does. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. But I also don't look. If it's a championship team,
and
get rid of all of those draft picks.
Okay.
You got Steph Curry on the roster. And I'm not saying it because they owe Steph Curry. I kind of agree with you. Like, they don't owe him. I mean, obviously, they've been successful, and he is the main reason. But I just think if you want to win as an organization, it would behoove you to maximize the time you have Steph Curry on the roster. What was this roster? What was this organization before Steph Curry came around? It was a joke.
Doo-doo.
It was a joke. We like these Golden State Warriors fans, like, they revere the We Believe years that an 8 seed, like, no disrespect to those guys, Steven Jackson, Baron Davis, Jason Richardson. But you guys, like, this fan base was treating them like they won anything of significance. They got one upset series, and that's it. And that was the highlight of the entire organization. That's laughable. Then Steph Curry came around, and now they're like a top five profitable organization in all of sports. Not in the NBA, in all of sports. And you still have the guy who is the main reason for that. You need to maximize it while he is still here. You don't get under a luxury tax and keep this guy and this guy so you can maybe be competitive. No, you have Steph Curry on the roster. You try to win.
But I think you can still be competitive and appease Steph Curry. Like, I know Steph Curry is telling you that I got to win championships. Steph ain't going anywhere, man. His kids go to school here.
That's when you get too comfortable, and then all of a sudden your girl's over there laid up with someone else.
Seriously. Steph Curry isn't going. I wouldn't bank on that, but I'm telling you, I don't think Steph Curry is going anywhere. Steph Curry is not going to Philadelphia, L.A., Boston, wherever.
Hey, I'm from Philly. I wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
And let me just say that he bought a building down in the dog patch.
He got to be here for that.
No, but here's the thing.
I don't think he's going anywhere.
But here's the thing.
I don't either.
Is that he's aware of his legacy, right? Would you agree with that? He understands being with one team.
He doesn't want to go anywhere.
No, but if you're competitive, like if you're young and competitive, like don't be Kobe in his last 5 years, right? Where you're on the outside looking in, you're a dog crap team and you're in the lottery. Don't do that to him. That's disrespectful. But if you're competitive, which this team could be, you steal a playoff series, there's some enthusiasm with the youth. I think Steph will buy into that. He may not say it publicly because, yeah, he wants to win championships. But I think if you're competitive, that's good enough for Steph. But the idea, again, of mortgaging your future, getting off of draft picks, moving Pajemski, Kuminga, and all of your young assets to you to try and win a championship with one guy, and that one guy be Lauren Markin and his crazy talk.
Look, we've seen this organization without Steph Curry. So mortgaging your future, I'm not confident in the Warriors' future when Steph Curry's not here, even if you have Kuminga and Pajemski. So, like, what are we talking about?
But that day will come.
The day will come, and then you figure it out. But in present time, you still have Steph Curry, and you also should not, absolutely not, operate under the assumption that he ain't going nowhere.
No, that's my personal thinking.
I don't think he is either, but that's not how you operate, because that's when you get that person looking you in the eye and say, I'm out. You're taking me for granted, because you subconsciously are taking him for granted if you operate and make moves based on the fact, I know he ain't going anywhere. You get lazy. You take stuff for granted when you operate under that assumption. So, look, Jonathan Kuminga is a great player. Pajemski, I think, is going to be a great player.
Oh, yeah, you didn't answer that. Which one would you move off on?
If I had to pick one of them to get a player back who I think would put the Warriors into contention, it would probably be Pajemski.
Yeah, I think I'm with you.
It would probably be Pajemski. But I see the argument on both sides. Yeah. I really do. It's not an indictment on BP for me saying that. I really like him, too. He's a good player. I've been covering that kid since he was at Santa Clara. At Kron, we were at all of his home games. We covered him. We did feature stories on him before we even knew he would be a Golden State Warrior. So
think about this conversation we're having right now a year ago, when none of us could even pronounce his last name.
The people in general.
We had no idea who Pajemski was. Now we're saying now, who?
Right.
We can't move off on this young man. Like, I mean, that's how much this guy in 1 year was able to turn heads.
Look, call lines are lighting up. Let's go to Oakland. We got Daryl. Daryl, what do the Warriors need to do in your opinion?
Well, first of all, I would definitely not make a trade with Danny Ainge. He's been known to just absolutely kill anybody that he makes a trade with. So that's just table immediately. Anything with Lauri Markkanen has a big asterisk, because if we're going to give away multiple assets, that's just a non-starter, right? That's just a track record. But what I wanted to discuss with you is this. We've made a signing, I think, that I've been really thinking about, and that's Kyle Anderson, and how when Draymond Green comes off the floor, he's going to come on, and he's basically the same player, except he's taller and a little bit different, but he's an excellent passer. And if we're talking about unlocking, you know, Jonathan Kuminga or whatever, you know what? There's another guy that's an absolute stud passer, great defensive player, who gave the Warriors fits. And oh, by the way, wasn't Minnesota like the best team in the league last year? And I saw the Warriors play them, and Kyle Anderson really pissed me off last year. We have that guy now, and he's going to be the replacement for Draymond when Draymond comes off. And so I think we're in a good spot. That's all I got. And I've really thought about that, and I think we're in a really good spot.
Appreciate the call, Daryl. I think you're over-hyping Kyle Anderson a little bit. I think he's a good player. Been watching him for a long time, too. He's a Jersey guy. Been watching him since he was a prep player. He's good. He is not remotely in the same conversation as Draymond Green, though. Just he has never been that guy. He actually had a bad year last season, but I think that was an anomaly. It'll be hard to play Draymond and Kyle on the floor.
No, he's a good player, and he can extend. It's 6'9", wing defenders, right? They're coveted. Like, he's going to help this team, and that's what he does. Defensively, that's where he lives. He's gonna improve the Warriors. I just got to tell you, maybe I should bite my tongue and not say this, in terms of watching NBA and watching NBA players. That dude makes me want to hurl. I cannot stand watching that dude.
The aesthetics are...
Dude, shoot the damn ball and don't take 30 seconds to do it. That whole unwinding shot and just the lack of fluidity. But don't get me wrong. I understand. I'm just giving you a personal rant. He is a good basketball player. He's a Steve Kerr basketball player. I talked about IQ. He fits in perfectly. He's a two-way guy that you need. 6'9", with length, that can get out and defend on the wing. I'm just telling you that when that dude has the ball offensively, that shot of his, like, he was cringeworthy when he was with the T-Wolves.
It'll be interesting. You know what will be interesting, obviously, and we don't have to spend much time on it because it's an assistant coach. He doesn't need to take much air time, but it's going to be cool to see Jerry Stackhouse on the Warriors bench this year. He comes from Vanderbilt. He's a head coach there.
Yeah.
But I'm interested to see how he will be in, like, kind of a player development assistant coach role, and see his interactions with the players. He was on the Sixers early in his career. I grew up rooting for the Sixers, and I remember him and AI playing together, and they eventually traded him because they didn't really like the fit between he and AI. But even at UNC, he was a bad boy.
Oh, Stackhouse was almost player of the year. No, he was for real. Yeah. No, you know, speaking of coaches, is Steve Kerr getting a little exposed here with the United States national team? Or is that, to me, it's
too, like, early to say.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, when South Sudan's pushing you, man, it's like somebody's got to take the fall.
I mean, they played about three very close games.
Yeah.
I saw today that Australia beat Spain, I believe, today. It was their first real game. It wasn't a friendly or anything.
Team USA plays tomorrow.
Oh, sweet. Who do they play?
So I want to say Slovenia, Serbia.
That'll be fun. I mean, obviously, it's gold or bust for Team USA. If they don't win the gold medal, it will be extremely embarrassing for the embarrassment of riches that are on that roster. LeBron's still showing people he's LeBron. I mean, obviously, we know where he will be. There we are. They need to win that gold medal. Did you watch the opening ceremonies?
I did not, but I'll be there on Thursday.
You're going?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Fun or...
Wait, who?
Work or fun?
No, just fun. I'm just...
Are you going to watch some... Are you going to take in Team USA?
Yeah, I have a friend who's some games, does the swimming events, and...
You going to catch a hoops game?
Is going to hook me up. I don't know what I'm going to yet, so right. I have a friend who's in Paris, and... So we got a place to stay, and then we're gonna check out some events. I'm trying to find out who are they playing tomorrow. Do you know, Jersey Ken?
So look, it don't matter really. It really doesn't matter. They just gotta win.
Yeah.
Did you hear what they asked Steph? Who are you most looking forward to playing in the Olympics? And Steph said, whoever's in that gold medal game. And that was the perfect answer. 'Cause really, it doesn't matter who they play. They just need to win.
Serbia.
Yeah. Cool. Who's on Serbia? They got it. Who's their pros? Is that Nikola?
Yeah, I believe so, right? Those are all Serbians.
I think Nikola is from Serbia.
Bogdan Bogdanovic, I believe. What's his name? Luka plays for Slovenia or Slovakia?
Oh, they're Slovenian. That's right. I would say maybe we could talk about this on the other side. You know, I had this conversation speaking to Evan Giddings, and he just said, the USA is going to roll through this thing. They may. But this is, again, another sign how basketball has become so much more universal. Like, this is when I was growing up in the 84 Olympics in L.A. or 92 Dream Team. Right. That's gold medal or bust. That's the United States own the sport. Now you can just see that other countries are playing this, and it's institutionalized, and that their time's coming. Maybe they get the gold medal, but this is... The margin is being drastically reduced when you talk about basketball on the national stage, or the world stage, I should say.
So Jokic plays for them, too. I was right. So they'll play the Joker tomorrow. They beat the brakes off them recently.
Yeah. So in the exhibition.
Yeah, it'd be, look.
And Durant may play tomorrow.
I mean, hopefully. It a little weird. Why couldn't Kawhi be on the team injured Durant?
I'll tell you, Kawhi, I thought you were going to get into
There's a little beef between the Warriors.
Somebody's
and the Clippers.
Explained to me the disrespect to Jaylen Brown. Like, we can get into that.
Oh, we got to talk about that. We'll get to that on the other side of the break. That's Dan Devone. I'm Jason Dumont. You're listening to 95.7 The Game Saturdays. We'll be back in a second.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.